Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
This chair, the way it was set up, you couldn't, like, you could only pull the arms out. They were on like a diagonal line, so you could only pull them out to make them higher. They wouldn't, vertical adjustment. And like, so where they were at, they were permanently there. And it just like, it was like always pushing my arms in, this trying to, it was the worst. And I hated it. So then I had to go through the terrible time of trying to disassemble a computer chair, but not break it because I returned it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't, if anybody has ever done that, it's incredibly frustrating.
It was frustrating putting mine together. And man, you talking about the arm, like the armrest and stuff, is something that I never even think about, which is probably a sign that mine are good because I don't think about them. Like right now, I probably a couple of times a year, like I'll turn them in or I'll, you know, put them out. So they're
yours even do that. They go diagonally. Yep. Yeah, that's tight. Those are really nice.
It's so nice. And my thing is, I don't mind buying something off of Amazon or online, like no matter what it is, because it is annoying to even me the amount of time that I put into researching everything. Sure. And even if it is the most perfect fit for me, I will be skeptical and second guessing myself for an entire week before I pull the trigger. So when I got this thing like 5-6 years ago, like I was thrilled, but man, putting them together is a pain in the ass.
Right. And getting them off is awful because like that thing that the hydraulic part sits in, both those are just like pressure connections.
Yeah.
And to get it out of the part that like adjusts it, raise it up or down is awful. That thing is the hardest part.
That sucks. Well, listeners, but I did it. You're probably jumping in like, after we even started talking about this, Kyle got a new chair where you're not going to be hearing him squeak whenever he sits back.
Yeah, it's tight.
You're welcome.
That's good stuff. Ungrateful
pricks.
The things I do for the unknown listener. Look at that. I'm adjusting now. It's so nice. I do love it that it doesn't make any noise.
All dozen of you. Sing your praises.
It is nice. Like I said, I just got to get a new movable mic stand because this one is also an old cheap Amazon buy that squeaks.
Oh, it squeaks? I think mine does as well. Or, oh yeah. It's got,
I think
it's
probably the same one I do or similar enough.
It's similar, but mine has springs towards the base. And so when you do extend it one direction or another, the springs, like the squeaky tension, the squeaky springy tension. So annoying. Anyways, I saw you downloaded Diablo.
Yeah, I've rolled the Barbarian class character. I haven't really played it much. I did skip the campaign because that's what I want to do, right? How do I do it to make it seasonal? Do I need the season pass too, or
no?
Okay.
No, you click the thing that says skip campaign, and also it will ask you if you want to make it a seasonal character.
And I think I clicked the right one there.
Which I think it recommends anyways.
Yeah.
And so, listeners, never play. If you're doing a seasonal thing, always skip the campaign.
Yeah.
It's the worst part of a Diablo game.
Finish the game,
get to the good stuff.
I've got that. I got it set up. It was on a day off, and I was like, I was of course playing Monster Hunter, as I do right now, and I was like, oh, I really need to set up Diablo. I should start that up, and then I was like, okay, one more hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did set it up, and then I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna log off. I want to do another hunt.
Hey, you did the bare minimum of getting the Diablo in there, rolling a character.
Yep.
You know, you probably have like 12 skill points to work with, so you can go in there like crazy OP off the rip for where you start out with, at least. And yeah, Monster Hunter. Are you still rocking World, or what are you doing?
I'm doing World, and then I do Rise on the handheld.
Nice.
Due to the generous gift from my buddy, which I have not returned the favor, because I got an idea for us. I'm just waiting just a smidge.
For a game idea?
Yeah. Well, just for one that I think both of us will enjoy. And okay. It's just not on your exact birthday, because I'm a shit, but... Hey,
yours wasn't on your birthday either, so
yeah, but it was a lot closer than where we're at with you at this point. But I haven't forgotten the gesture and the love, my friend. I'm just I'm waiting for the opportune time to strike, like a monster in Monster Hunter would.
Hey,
no, it's been great though. I do enjoy the fuck out of it.
So. How are you enjoying the mobile experience?
It's been really cool. It was funny though. You were 100% right, because I was playing Rise even offline, and you're like, yeah, that one's a battery hog. And like, I was playing for not very long at all. I looked and I had like 70% left, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Which is nuts, because like, I think Rise, you probably get like 2 hours out of it, like, yeah, on that game, which is, to me, I feel like that's still a lot of time. Like, I'm not going to be sitting down and playing for 6 hours one game, so I'll never be on that side of like, oh my god, like the battery life sucks. Like a lot of people were with the Switch, because like, if I'm playing it, I'm on the couch. There's an outlet right there. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But like, it is so jarring when you only play for a half an hour. It's like, hey, 70%.
What the hell? Yeah, it was probably like a half hour. I do love that it has the charging port on the top, so you can continue to game, unlike the Switch, which I get why it's on the bottom, but man, that's a bitch if you're trying to charge it and hold it and play it still.
It's so annoying. But it's so weird, like, looking at Monster Hunter Rise and playing it and whatever. Man, I have so much more intensive games that I play on there that feel like...
they should suck down the battery way more.
Way more. Yeah. And be way louder. But no, Rise is just like, it feels like you're playing a jet engine. Like, you put that bad boy in your lap after 10 minutes and your crotch is warm. Just super heated.
It was very warm. So yeah, it's funny though, because it is one, and World is also like one that it's like, hey, this is great to play on the Steam Deck. And it's like, is it though? I mean, yeah, it controls great, but it eats your battery and it makes you hold a small nuclear device in your life. But yeah, oh, no. So still right now,
live strong, buddy.
I'm deep into World, because I've hit a new level. I feel like it is crazy. Like, that game really doesn't even start until you beat the game, as they say. Like, that's when the game really starts.
Right? World?
Yeah, or Rise, like all of them, like the campaigns are essentially long tutorials.
Oh,
and then
man,
the real game starts.
Okay. Because like, then I have never experienced like the full breadth of what one of these games can offer then. Mm-hmm. Because I played, you know, numerous hours of World, and then I probably put 15, 20 hours into Rise the first time. But that felt like kind of grindy. And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, because you don't really get much of a payoff until you get to like the high level stuff. And then that's when like you can, that's when it becomes an actual RPG. Up to that point, it's just a somewhat sometimes, especially new, annoying like bash or beat 'em up, which. So like what I'm getting at is that like the armor pieces that you start to unlock in high rank, they all have like additional skills that benefit certain play styles. So each monster has set you should work towards. So that's why I've been working on this Azure Rathalos, as the only person to like my tweet from earlier about him was, he's a blue one. He's a unique version of the base one. But all of his stuff is like real beneficial to a bow user. So, but he's also, he runs a lot faster than the normal base Rathalos, and he can combo like fireball attacks back to back, and it can catch you off guard. So like, There was a lot of times, and also, like, I didn't have good armor at first, and also, like, just he can one-shot you. Goddamn, that shit gets real old when you're trying to learn the shit.
Yeah.
I got it. It's all the grind,
like you said,
man.
In that tweet, you're like Neo in the Matrix. You're just like dodging everything.
It's so funny, too, because I can read them all like a book now, at least the ones I fought. There's still so many that, like, I haven't even got to. But, yeah, it's just, like, cool, because... Like, there's little, like, dodge moves you can do when you have the bow. Like, if you have it pulled and you double tap X in a direction, you'll do, like, this cool slide out of the way. So if they're coming at you, and, like, one of the pieces of armor I have now gives me extra iframes during those. So, like, I almost never get hit now. I'm just like, wah, ha-cha. It's really tight, dude.
Oh, that's sick. I fucking love this game. That just makes it easier for you to do those battles to get more hide and bones and stuff to make that gear.
Let's go, baby. Yeah,
freaking tight, dude.
It's
that's so sick.
It's fantastic. It is crazy. It's another one of those games that just has such an insane learning curve to start that I see why it obviously turns off so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's tons of games like that. Like, dude, the Souls series are that way. They just got memed so hard that they became so popular that people, like, understand what it means now.
Right.
Because, you know, there was all that early marketing back in the day that was like, you will die. You will suck at this game.
People who don't even game or don't even really know what they're talking about know what that means or have heard about that. Like, you could probably just talk to your average person who has a partner or significant other that plays games that have heard something like, oh, yeah, it's a Souls game. They have no idea what the hell that means, but it's just part of the lexicon of, like if you play games, you know that, and the people around you have probably heard you saying that because it's just so present. Yeah.
It became its own thing.
Know what else is Souls-like? Me and, like, any form of entertainment, whether it be, like, when you're talking about actors, you know, I could be talking about... Have you ever felt like you talk about an actor and then next thing you know, they died?
Oh, yeah. You have this curse about you for sure.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, yeah. I think the most recent one that I've known about was literally Paul Rubens. Like, I hadn't talked about Paul Rubens in God knows how long. Talked about him over a weekend, weekend birthday party because somebody had... like a Pee-wee doll. I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And we started talking about it. And literally within 2 days, he died. I'm starting to feel like this is also my thing with games. Because as I talked about last week, I started playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And within 12 hours of the two of us talking about it, it got announced that it was being killed off for a full... price paid version of the game, and so I haven't logged on to it since. I just wanted to get that out there because
you're flying the double finger at it.
Yeah, what the fuck. So I started playing Rocket League again.
Nice, man. I thought you're gonna lead it. So Rocket League's not getting shut down.
No. Yeah. At this point I'm just this whole backlog of games that I've always really wanted to play, but then I'll play for like 3 minutes and then just never play it again. Coincidentally enough, games that I think Sarah will really enjoy. So sure. Like, I picked up Unpacking a couple of years ago when that came out. I thought it was great. It was a lot of fun. It didn't hook me and keep me coming back to it. I showed her that the other day. She absolutely crushed through it in like a day and a half.
The whole game.
I'm just gonna, and I enjoyed the hell out of watching her play this game.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna let her play all of these games. I'll live through watching her play all of these games, and I'll just not get games canceled.
I see.
I'm gonna start increasing the difficulty of them.
Yeah.
Game by game. So eventually, you know, I'll be like, holy crap, this new, I don't know, Metroidvania is coming out. that super high intensity. Here you go, babe.
Burr, 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 burr.
You got this. This is up your alley. Not at all, but this is up your alley.
Then she just conquers it. You should get her on GDQ for Unpacked.
GDQ front. Oh, no. She did not beat the time to beat.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, have her start training. Like, have her get her in the speedrun community.
Oh, man. That was, like, the first thing she said when the game ended was, man, I wish there was more replayability in this game because I would play this again. But, like, I get it. I hope. Well, it is made by the Humble Studio, and I think they closed down their gaming department.
They did.
So I don't know if a sequel will happen, but I hope so for the sakes of people who enjoy that.
It's funny you mentioned enjoying watching her play that, because I remember Dave and Brian played that on the stream last year for the charity stream. And I watched that, and I had a hoot of a time watching them play it. That game is entertaining to watch two people do.
Which is, it's also not the kind of game... It's not the kind of game that you could imagine being very fun to watch if somebody explained it to you. But also, while you're watching it, you can't explain why it's fun to watch either, because it shouldn't be as fun of a game as it is. But it's so cathartic and soothing, and it's wild how there's a story being told just from scene to scene with no words being spoken, just music that changes in the background, and whatever house you're unpacking in or room you're unpacking in changes from, you know, time to time. I'm not going to spoil anything in case anybody wants to play this. Get it. It's fantastic. It's such a weird gem of a game. But I know the transition that you thought I was going to go on. I'll tell you this, Kyle. Even though Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is shutting down, you know what? All of my favorite animals will always find a way to find their way back into my town, back into my camp, as long as I'm playing an Animal Crossing game. Bill, man, he's always just around the corner.
That's sweet, Sean. It's real sweet.
It's kind of like a couple of animals in a film. That we watched recently.
It's funny. So fantastic segue into Homeward Bound.
Yeah. Nailed it on the first try.
a movie that overwhelmingly won in our small little friend and fan vote contest. We put it up between Homeward Bound and Three Ninjas. We had two for Three Ninjas. One... no vote either way, and then just the rest was all Homeward Bound, which is crazy. I did not expect it to go that way. I put it to the public because I thought they'd go Three Ninjas.
There was like 10 plus votes on that within an hour, which blew me away, because it's like we underutilize our Facebook. I'm coming to realize the amount of people that are just constantly on that platform and see that. It blows me away. And that's something where, man, I think last week we were just ready to do Homeward Bound and we didn't even bring up the Three Ninjas until we were off air. But
maybe that was it.
But people were just, I think, wanting to hear about Homeward Bound. Which I didn't realize was a remake of like a 1962 movie. Until I realized how difficult it was to look anything up on it without being confused.
I think I knew that, which, of course, it's a Disney movie, and they famously just kind of recycle all their not even best stuff. They'll recycle lesser-known stuff, too, much like this movie, because I'd never heard of the original. I don't think the original was an all-that-massive hit. It was a silly thing, but this Homeward Bound, I remember, like, everybody you knew had a copy of this VHS tape. They had this and they had Lion King almost the guaranteed two movies to have.
Especially that time. I mean, this is a 1993 movie, and I think so was Lion King. It was either 92 or 94.
I think Lion King was 4.
Yeah. Dude, I saw this in theaters.
I think I did too, to be honest with you, but my memory is of just watching it at home, because again, we had the VHS tape. I've probably seen this movie not 100 times, but a lot, like probably up in the 50-ish range.
Wow. Yeah. This is a movie I haven't seen since I saw it in theaters.
Okay, so it's been a long time.
And I was 6, and I remembered almost every bit of this movie.
Really? That's wild, because there was so much I was surprised I didn't remember about this movie.
Really?
So much of Homeward Bound I've just checked out. Like, especially all the big parts. So.
Wow. Especially since you've seen it so many times. Uh-huh. Like, I am blown away that I really remember as much about this movie as I did, which was, again, like almost all of it. Like the little tiny things, like, you know, their friend on the ranch leaving to go do a cattle drive. Like, that's something that I wouldn't retain or pick up on as a kid. Yeah. But all of the other story bits, like, also that, and I didn't understand why they were being left there as a kid.
I still really don't. I guess I kind of do, because your place in San Francisco isn't that big. But on the other hand, you're going for 2 weeks. You can't deal with the dogs for 2 weeks. Like, what's the fucking problem here, dude? So
I have no idea.
And not only that, like, you're going back to the girl's house. You can't take her cat. A cat's small, if anything. Leave the two dogs on the farm. Why does the cat have to stay?
And cats are, and don't get me wrong, I don't even like cats, but they are way less of a hassle to deal with than a couple of dogs, especially when one of them is just a wound up, rambunctious, doesn't care about anything. Like, I'm going to chew on a shoe if you leave it out. Or hell, even if you don't leave it out, I'm going to chew on that shoe. I'm going to get it.
Good old-fashioned grown-up pup, man. Yeah. Old Chance. Now, I do remember that's one of the big reasons I love this movie, is because Chance is voiced by Michael J. Fox, who is in, like, he might be on my Mount Rushmore of actors. I fucking love Michael J. Fox.
Really?
I absolutely adore the man. Always have. Just,
He's so charming. You know, I famously didn't watch, I say famously as if anybody in the world fucking cares, but I famously, in our friend group, didn't watch Back to the Future until like 3 years ago, you know? And so he just never was really a big deal, I guess, for me. Like, the biggest thing that I knew about him was, okay, he was in Back to the Future, but, you know, 10, 11 years old, he was on, like, Spin City.
Yep.
And then the whole Parkinson's thing and, you know, me not really realizing the gravity of that or the significance of such a big actor was completely lost on me.
He was, he was a real... I grew up with Back to the Future, I think. Get you Back to the Future movie box set as a gift to force you to watch them.
Yes.
Because I love them so much. And Michael J. Fox is just, he's so goddamn charming and electrifying on screen. He has that it factor. And it is really unfortunate that his career was cut so short by fucking Parkinson's. Cause, like, dude, that guy could be crushing it. He's in one of the best episodes of Scrubs ever.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen that episode?
Probably.
Where he's the doctor with OCD and he just can't stop washing his hands.
Yes.
And he's like, this is the part people aren't supposed to see, JD. It's the part where he's weak. God damn, man. He's so fucking good.
He is really good. And didn't he just had a documentary a couple years ago come out, right?
I think that was
a big deal. Or he's doing small things now still, or trying to.
Well, he's made a couple of appearances, and he's just, because he's just gotten so bad, but, you know, some small fundraising appearances. he isn't like, he is one of my favorite bits in Curb Your Enthusiasm, but that's also maybe because it is Michael J. Fox, but he gives Larry David a can of Coke and Larry doesn't want to open it.
Because it'll explode.
And they just sort of silently stare at each other and Larry's doing that. Come on. It's a man, fucking
Curb
great
Your
one.
Enthusiasm
yeah,
is so fucking good, dude.
Michael J, man, doing the voice of Chance. We have the lovely Sally Field is the cat Sassy.
Sassy. Yep.
And then an old man actor who I am not familiar with.
Don Ameche.
Don Ameche just absolutely crushing it as the old wise golden retriever Shadow.
I believe this was his final movie.
Yeah, I think he died like a month before this released.
Yeah. Wow. He was in like a, wow. Going back to,
yeah, like he's like
41.
Like a silent film era guy.
Yeah.
Or like not silent film era maybe, but like right when movie was, Hollywood was like really becoming like, wow.
He was in Trading Places, Harry and the Hendersons.
He was in Harry
Holy
and the Hendersons.
Holy cow. He was so prolific in the, holy Jesus, from 1936 to 1950.
Yeah.
That man was in so much stuff as like yeah, the leading man.
And what's crazy is that he probably didn't get paid shit for those.
Jack Squiddly Squat.
That's why he did so many to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, man. What terrible yeah, times. And then on the other hand, though, you do have Robert Downey Jr. getting $95 million to be Dr. Doom, and it's, come on, man.
Yeah, when we get to those, I don't know if I'm going to do the budget thing. Actually, I do want to do the budget thing, because I'm curious as to how high it can get.
Oh, it's going to get nutso, bro.
Like, right now, my mind being blown that some of these over the last month have reached upwards of $40 million.
Yeah, for, like, early 90s Disney flicks.
Insane to me. Absolutely insane. Spoilers. For some reason, you can't track down what the budget of Homeward Bound and Incredible Journey was.
I wonder
they're
if like
hiding something.
I wonder if it's that or if like this was, because to me, this feels like a Disney made for TV movie that got the bump up to an actual full release, maybe through production, maybe when they brought on Sally Field and Michael J. Fox. I don't know.
Huh.
Really, I'm just pulling this all out of my ass because we don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I did not look into it.
Yeah, not much. I don't care that much either. But yeah. But yeah, man, Homeward Bound. Wild so Flick, it's about three animals that their owners get married, and then so I forget, I don't know where they're at during the wedding, but they have to go to San Francisco. So on the way, they stop at a family friend's ranch, and that family friend is Kim Cattrall, the sexy slutty one from
that
Sex
is
the City.
Not Kim Cattrall. I thought That's it was not Kim Cattrall the whole time. Dude,
How is that
I'm
not
so
Kim
glad
Cattrall?
That you said that, because I was going to bring this up.
You're blowing me away. Who the fuck is it?
Give me a couple minutes.
Is this like a Tom Hardy, Logan Marshall Green situation? Are these
yeah,
two women?
Yeah, it was
that
not Kim Cattrall. Dude, that is so funny.
Wow. You could have fooled the fuck out of me, dude.
Yeah, I thought it was her the whole time. And dude, I cannot find it for the life of me right now. It was Jean Smart.
What the hell else has she been in?
Jean Smart was in, oh, wow, she's been in a bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, keep going for a hot second.
I don't know.
Before
anything
I pull up something
up
that I know that you, she was Mimi in Arrested Development. Let's see.
She was
what
Mimi
else
in Arrested Development. In?
That's huge. She's got a lot. She's got a really long.
Yeah, she's one of those. Another, a working actress. Good for her. Yeah. Not that's blowing me away.
It absolutely knocked my socks off when I went on the IMDb, because I'm like, that's Kim Cattrall, right? Like, she's definitely Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City. And I just stared at my phone, mouth agape.
So yeah. The dad and the mom are people of note. But anyway, to finish the recap, and then we can break down more scene stuff. The dogs and the cat get left at the friend's ranch, where they're just staying for the week. But of course, the animals don't understand that, and we can add human emotions to these animals. Chance, who is a rescue dog, has been abandoned at the pound before, so he knows what abandonment feels like, and over time, he eats away at everybody else, and they determine that they were abandoned, so they make it their choice to go back home. That's why the movie's called Homeward Bound. But that's what I don't get. They're going to San Francisco, so the dogs go to San Francisco? Or do they go to the... I don't understand where they're going.
Okay. So the best that I could gather from this is, so the marriage happens, you know, you've got the sassy cat, you've got Shadow, who was played by Don, whatever his name was, Don Amesh. And so he's the older, wiser dog. And then you've got the shitty, rambunctious, you know, can't trust humans, I've been abandoned, Chance, Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox basically, Michael J. just bounces on a cake. No, so Chance the dog destroys the wedding cake. But Bob Seaver, who's the dad who marries Laura, he has a new job in San Francisco that he's got to relocate to. And until they get settled, the dogs and cat are staying on this ranch with Laura's old college friend so that they can go figure stuff out. I don't know if they're ever really intended to go back home or not, or if this was just a temporary job. I didn't really pick up on that.
Well, so the only reason I can answer that is because I know the sequel is called Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So they eventually do move to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think the dogs are going back to their old home.
Yes.
And that's where the people are.
Yes. So that's where the people end up. Because yes. As we'll expand upon talking about this, you know, it's they get left behind because their friend, Kate, who's the rancher, she's on a ranch. She goes on cattle drives. So she asks her neighbor, Frank, leaves a note being like, hey, watch the animals, blah, blah, blah. The dogs and cats see her leaving and they're like, oh my God, we're being abandoned again. Where are all the humans? And so you got Shadow being like, I don't like this. I'm going back home. We're going to make our way home. The dog, Chance, ends up acquiescing when Turkey Zilla or whatever starts chasing him because she's got all sorts of animals. Dude, one of my favorite lines in the movie is, oh, bath toys, get back here. I'm not going to eat you. I just want to chew on your neck a little bit.
Yeah.
Loved it. Again, that was fantastic.
Michael J. Fox.
And then Sassy ends up going along with them. Now, the rancher's friend, like, part of the note that she left falls to the floor. So he thinks that she took the animals with him, blah, 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 whatever. The animals go through this crazy adventure through the woods.
We'll get into the Sierra Nevada mountains,
which is, from what the park rangers say, they have no chance of surviving because they're domesticated.
Yeah.
There's some crazy shit that happens. Well, Kate gets back from her drive, realizes the mistake that's been made. She calls the park rangers. She gets a hold of the family. The family eventually realizes that they've been found. Go to that, which I'm assuming is closer to their home, the shelter that they got brought to. So they end up getting there, realizing that the cat broke them out of the shelter.
a great craziest scene. Shit
you'll ever hear. And then they just, I think, decide to just go home.
Oh, yeah. And then they're just there waiting and they're sad and they're crying. And then
yeah. So I think that's why they end up getting home.
It's still a couple days later. It is insane. Like, it doesn't, the movie, there's one thing, like, it doesn't do a great job conveying, like, the passage of time, because, again, it's a quick family movie. But, like, I think this takes place over at least, like, a couple of weeks.
I would imagine, like, at a minimum, it's over the course of a couple of weeks. Because by the end of the movie, like, between the two of us, I imagine one of us, at least one of us, if, like, one of our dogs was lost and like it could possibly be dead. If we were kids, dude, if I was a kid and that happened, I'd be destroyed for like 2 weeks.
I would be absolutely crushed.
Yeah. And by the end of the movie, you got little Jamie just kind of playing basketball with Bob. And, you know, everybody seems pretty okay and pretty just like it's sad. But they're in good spirits, so I think enough time has gone by that I agree. This movie does a terrible time at passage of time. Like, I'm sure it was faster than what my mind is telling me, because it feels like it should have been like a month.
But yeah, I still feel like it's at least a couple days between when they escape from the pound and when they roll up on the house at the end when they're playing the basketball. I feel like it's been established that, yeah, they've at least been a couple days there, and I think they were going to leave, and then they hear the unmistakable bark that could only be Chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, spoiler alert, everybody does get home safe. I sent you a gift that you would need the box of tissues, and you said, nah. I think I mostly did because, man, they really emphasize Shadow as an old dog. And me, man, you know, Bentley's, his face looks a lot like Shadow Dog. It was very, it's a relatable part because that's the sad part. It got me in the feels, man, because Bentley's my Shadow and he's just a good old stoic dog. And
the part that made me feel most sad, because one thing that I do want to, there's only a couple of things that I really want to talk about in this movie, like some of the really cool scenes with like the dogs and on their journey, dogs and cat. I keep forgetting there's a cat, but like the cat just pisses me off, so I just
it's Sally Field. I love Sally Field.
Yeah, just push that out of my memory. But like that whole scene when they're dropping the dogs and cat off. Like, man, that cat, when she's just like, it's cold. It's cold. I'm like, shut. I fucking hate cats. Oh, my God. That is so cat-like. And then I felt really good on the inside when Chance just ate her food. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
He goes, you snooze, you lose. Then he
snooze, you lose. Stop being a stuck-up douchebag. Anyways, that whole scene is just so sad because, man, when you're a kid, like, you are, and I feel like even as an adult, you have a tendency to humanize your animals and your pets. And like, yes. Like when Jamie, not Jamie, the older brother, what was the older brother's name?
I don't know.
Hope was the sister.
Hope, Jamie.
God damn it. Is it David? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyways, the older brother, he was like, oh, Shadow's going to know. He's going to know. I told him I was going to be back this weekend. And it's like, as a kid, I feel like we've all had that moment where you're like, oh, man, I told him I was going to see him tomorrow. And now I'm not going to go. His feelings are going to be hurt. Bloody blah. But then the movie goes around and flips it on its head and has Shadow being like, oh, man, well, now who's going to watch after him? Who's going to be waiting for him when he gets off the school bus or waiting, you know, laying at the foot of the bed? And it's like this twofold, like they're both looking out for each other And it was just like the sweetest thing ever. And the part that got me was right then and there when Shadow lays down on the porch. And it's the same dog that I think got us both, because he lays down and he's just having these feelings of, well, I'm supposed to be his best friend. Like, who's he got now? You know, and he was just making that same face that, like, I see Rupert making at me whenever I'm, like, not paying attention to him. And it's just, like, this sad, like, just looking up. And, man, it's just so relatable when you have a dog and, like, different aspects of this movie.
So. Shadow Man really sells it, dude. The dog is good. The voice acting takes it to such another level. Like, for such a seasoned, established, and serious actor that's had this story career from the 30s, this dude gave it his all, giving emotion and soul to a golden retriever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for a last acting credit, it's a hell of a one. Like, Raul Julia, his last credit was M. Bison in Street Fighter. But goddamn, he's the best part of that movie times 10. And
yeah,
I mean, fuck it. I love Michael J. Fox, but Shadow is like the heart of this movie.
Absolutely the heart of the movie. And I think, like, without Shadow, Chance's whole story doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
And, like, that whole... this movie's all about... It's not even about some kid learning some lesson or their redemption story. It's about a dog who has been just betrayed and had a horrible life prior to finding this family. But, like, he finds this family, and because of the way he was treated prior, he just doesn't trust anyone. He doesn't want to trust anybody because he's been hurt too many times. And so it's like through this journey, this incredible journey, if you will, he's learned to love and trust and realize that the family that he's been kind of pushing away this whole time was worth it all along.
Mm-hmm. And they were, like, right there with, I love that part at the end when Shadow's fallen in the hole and he can't get out. And he gives up. And then I love that Chance gets down there in the mud with him. He's like, hey, man, you didn't give up on me the whole trip. I'm not giving up on you, Shadow. And he gets down there in the mud with him. And I was like, yes, the heart. God damn it, this movie. It crushes it.
And then it throws another knuckleball at you where Shadow drops even more old sage shit on him. It's like, Chance, you've learned so much on this journey. Now the last part of that you need to learn is learning how to say goodbye.
I know. And then it just fades, like, to black. They don't. And then it pulls the heartstrings. The ending is great because, of course, Chance, the young spry pup, he's first up. He runs all the way up to the family, gets his kid back, Jamie. We get this great musical swell. And then Sassy finally comes strolling up. And then the camera fucking hangs on the empty field where the other two walked out of for a long time. And then the other kid gives up. He's like, well,
Peter.
Shadow was pretty old. Peter. He's like, yeah, Shadow was pretty old. He probably didn't make it. And just when it's about to pull away, here he comes. It's old Shadow. And he's got the limp, but goddammit, he's coming. I didn't cry at all in this movie, but I definitely got a little choked up a couple times. That time when he fell in, it's all related to Shadow.
I think that's another important thing to touch upon is that, like, when you're a kid and there's multiple dogs or animals or whatever, every kid, like, one of the animals is, like, one of the kid's dogs, you know?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
When I was a kid, we had a black lab. That was black lab Jesse. Like, that was my brother's dog. I had a Dalmatian. Like, we had a Dalmatian Mac. Like, that's my dog, right? And it's really established in this movie that Chance is Jamie, the young, like, six-year-old kid's dog, and Shadow is Peter, who's early teens, maybe. He's older. He's had this dog for a long time, probably since he was, like, a baby.
Like Jamie's age, at least.
Yeah. at least. And I think just thinking back to my childhood and that whole, like, which kid are, which kid do you belong to kind of thing. It's just so relatable and was such a great part of this movie. And when you said, you know, grab the tissues, I knew exactly where you meant for in this movie was the ending scene. Because I cried. I maybe that's why I remember this movie so much, seeing it in theaters when I was six. Because, like, when you cry at a movie,
you remember it.
That's pretty traumatizing.
I cried at Bambi when I was like 5 or 6. That was the first movie my mom ever took me to. I cried when his mom got shot. I bawled in that theater. I think my mom had to take me out of the theater. I think we had to leave.
I did. It's not even close to the same thing, because it's not like it got shot. But I, well, dude, I did the same thing in Free Willy.
You cried?
Oh, yeah. I cried like a baby at the end of that movie. Mm-hmm. Like a baby. And then he's like doing the whole, like, oh, as Willie's like jumping over him.
And Michael Jackson's hitting. And I just started
sobbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold me. I need you to hold me. I'm surprised we didn't do Free Willy in Nostalgia Week or month.
I was tempted. There's always
something to look back to.
We like themes.
Get it? Look back.
Oh, yeah. Nostalgia for some nostalgia.
I really love the two dogs outsmarting the mountain lion.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Great bit. Let's get into some of our favorite scenes from like their venture.
Obviously, that one is a classic, because Chance doesn't like cats in general. He makes exception for Sassy, even though he bullies her a lot. But this is a big cat that terrifies him. But I just love the fact that dogs can think and use logic of a seesaw that he launched Sassy off of earlier in the movie. Mm-hmm. They put all that together with their dog brain. That was a great little bit. And they launched this cat off of a fucking mountainside into a river.
Yeah.
Great bit.
Fantastic. Talking about cats, I can't say. I was going to joke and say that I love when Sassy fell into the river and got launched over the side of a waterfall. But I can't. I did find it very funny when Chance just like backs off a couple of baby bears, adolescent bears, because they're trying to get his sister. He's like, no, get away. So they climb up a tree. So Mama Bear comes out and they're like, whoa, I heard trout's good. Have this trout, please.
This is yours, lady. I love the fact that they were like, the two cubs were two little brown bears, and then the mama bear was just a giant grizzly, and it's like,
yeah.
It looks good on film. Who cares?
I love the character of Chance so much. The whole, like, the juxtaposition between him being so proud of, like, backing off some bears and being like, oh, yeah, I'm a badass, to, like, when he sees roosters earlier and freaks out and, like, starts calling them, like, Godzilla chickens or something.
Yeah.
Chickenzillas or whatever he said. It was so funny, because it's just like that high-strung ADHD person that you know that's just like always at 100.
Uh-huh. And eventually their mouth writes a check their ass can't cash, which happens to Chance frequently. I love it. He gets sprayed by the skunk. The porcupine bit, that bit is like the one I did remember. I was like, oh yeah, he gets hit by this porcupine at some point.
And it was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Funny stuff. I did want to say, when you read the trivia for this movie, no matter where you go, like, all of them have multiple trivia bits about how, like, the animals were not hurt in this part. The animals were completely safe. No animals were hurt.
When Shadow fell through that thing, there was a fake floor right below it.
Right below it. He didn't actually liked climbing up the mud part and sliding back down. It was a game for him. He was fine. He could get out whenever he wanted. I did like to know that the train part, they filmed the same part with the animals by themselves, and then they had the trains by themselves, and then they just put the same footage together. It looks real good.
I like how Shadow's just really good at limping. Like,
yeah, they said they put like a little wooden pebble in his paw. Yeah.
I figured it had to have been something about almost strapping a joint or putting something in his paw to make him limp.
It was like a little wooden bead that didn't hurt him. It was like rounded. Yeah. It just made him, it felt weird. So he just walked funny. It didn't hurt him. They took it right out. Yeah.
Which it was, I've seen dogs do that too. It almost looked like putting like a single shoe on a dog or something.
Like the special dog shoes?
Yes.
Those are hilarious, dude.
It's so funny. I wish that we could get a pair that fit on Rupert because, man, we strapped some of those bad boys onto him like for Christmas last year.
He just kicked them out.
He launched those off his feet so damn fast.
It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
So funny. They hate it. They hate it. So,
you know who I thought would have been a perfect shadow? It actually kind of sounded like him anyways, but Sam Elliott would have just been such a fantastic shadow.
I could see Sam Elliott doing a pretty good one. I don't know if at this point, though, like, if it was Sam Elliott, I would hope it was 93 Sam Elliott, because I feel Sam Elliott, if he was to do that role now, would almost be a little too hammy, too obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he had done it in 93 when he wasn't Sam Elliott that he is now.
I'm absolutely picturing mid-90s Sam Elliott. Like the Sam Elliott that sits down with the dude.
Yeah.
You know? And is just offering that sage advice. You know? Not the Sam Elliott that's out hunting Bigfoot and Hitler.
I like
that. If you don't get that reference, go back like 20 episodes.
That was a fun episode.
That was a fun episode for a movie that I don't think you liked very much.
I did not very much. Some parts I did overall, but yeah. Everybody, another funny, fucking great talking dog movie is Look Who's Talking Now. You ever seen that one?
I don't know why I knew you were going to be going immediately there. I love that movie.
I fucking love Look Who's Talking Now. That's Danny DeVito and Rosie O'Donnell, I believe?
No.
I believe it is.
No.
Look it up.
Yeah, definitely not. Kirstie Alley.
No, Kirstie Alley's the mom. Who's the voice of the dog in Look Who's Talking Now?
Oh, you're probably right. I thought you were talking about the mom.
I said Danny DeVito. That's John Travolta's the dad, not Danny DeVito's the voice of the dog.
Oh.
Because his kid smells like dirt and cookies.
Well, it turns out I'm an idiot. Yeah, I don't see them listed at all. Wait, what are you talking about?
Oh, wait, no, that's Bruce Willis. It's Bruce Willis.
Yeah, that's Bruce Willis, and that's the kid.
Yeah, he's the kid. So who's the... It's Look Who's Talking Now, not two.
Oh.
Look Who's Talking Now is the third one.
Danny DeVito.
Yep.
I see Diane Keaton.
Is it Diane Keaton?
Wow, that movie is not very well rated.
No, I loved it because I was a kid. So Diane Keaton is Daphne the dog. Okay.
Well, we made it there. Thank you, everybody, for enjoying this.
Woo!
I love Look Who's Talking.
That's the kid from fucking... Wow, he plays Mikey? That's funny. That's the kid from Seventh Heaven. I hate Seventh Heaven. We could do a whole episode on how much I hate the TV show Seventh Heaven.
I really don't want to because I feel like that would require me to watch any of it.
No.
And Jessica Biel is not worth it.
Jessica Biel would be the only reason to do it because the rest of the shit. It's all right. Just imagine a CW family drama about a Christian family where the dad is the preacher at the local church.
Dude. No, I completely know the story.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And also his outside story.
Oh, of course. I'm not even touching on that. I'm just saying Seventh Heaven in general.
Yeah, no,
terrible fucking show.
I'm so good. It's insane.
Jessica Biel broke out from that to become, although she's really even still not that huge. She hasn't been in anything forever.
She was huge. And then absolutely faded into obscurity.
Because she married Justin Timberlake and became like the wife, which...
Are they still together?
Yes, but they're in a weird spot because...
Wow, I don't care. I do not know why I just asked that.
I don't know why I know it. It's through osmosis. I've never looked up anything of this. It's just...
Speaking of JT, have you guys done... Did you guys, in the pre-Sean timeline, did you guys do Alpha Dog?
We did not do Alpha Dog or anything JT related. So the other one too, that Timekeepers movie.
No.
Out of time or something. That's the movie where like everybody, all currency is measured in time and you have like your lifetime on your arm and you gotta buy everything with your... Yeah.
That movie less about this movie, the movie you're talking about, than I did prior to today about Homeward Bound, which I hadn't seen since I was six.
Hilarious.
That is wild. Kyle.
JT's also in The Social Network. Yeah.
I don't know how much more we can talk about dogs in this movie, but would you like to give this a rating?
Yeah, let's give it a rating and get the fuck out.
Whoa, 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 whoa. We got to talk about how much this movie made. And also, as I refresh this, something that I put up on Facebook. So stick around, folks. We're not done yet. Another couple minutes. Kyle, do you have a rating?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do got some rating.
Okay.
All right.
What you got?
Shawnee boy.
Yo.
If you were a young, strikingly rambunctious American bulldog.
Yeah.
Full of energy. You're 1.5 years old. You're set loose on a farm that has chickens and geese, and you want to just get your teeth around the neck of these chickens and geese. And there are 15 of these things running around the yard.
Yeah.
How many chicken necks are you chomping down on as this dog?
I'm young. I'm rambunctious. There's 15 of these bath toys running around.
Oh, yeah, the bath toys.
Okay, I'm super conflicted here. One thing we didn't touch upon, this movie is a smooth 1 hour and 21 minutes, which is fantastic. And I think we could have like an entire show talking about what we believe is a minimum runtime for a movie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's cutting it real close for me. Like 1:15 and below, I don't think is long enough to be considered a movie. So this is like right on the cusp. Not complaining, but it was really weird to see that. This movie is very heartwarming. It's not, to me, super highly entertaining, but it's also not bad. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. Like, I'm not upset that I watched it. I'm not going to scream to the heavens, like, go watch this movie. But I think it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it... I chomped on... 11.
Okay.
I chomped on 10 and nibbled on an 11th somewhere in there.
Both fair answers.
I feel like so much of this movie is relatable now and even more relatable when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of in that position of having an animal that you love. It tells a great story, but you know, after the 4 weeks, and I don't like to compare movies week to week, this was a completely different movie. I don't know. I enjoyed it, though. Kyle, let's say you are a... how do I make this different? You're a young, rambunctious dog.
Uh-huh.
Probably named Chance, probably.
Sure. Yeah. Most likely.
You're a bulldog. Actually, it's crazy. Not unlike... That might be what I have in common with you.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. I'm starting to see a picture.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Envision this. Picture this. Sicily, 1943. You're in the woods. And you're sniffing around. You find a skunk. You also, you see what we know to be a porcupine. And you're like, oh man, I need to go investigate.
It's what walking does he away. Call it?
Hey, get back here. Get back here. and this thing bites you with its butt.
Yes, that's what he said. It bit me with its butt.
Bites you with its butt.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, when it bites you with its butt, it leaves some of its teeth in your face.
Uh-huh.
On a scale of 1 to 9.
Gotcha.
Butt teeth. How many butt teeth do you have on your face?
Like you, Shani, the thing I learned the most during this nostalgia week is that you can tell an absolute difference for between a kid's movie and an adult movie. Not saying like pornography, but just a movie made for adults. Because all of the plot lines for these kid movies have been very base, very simple to understand, which you would expect in a kid's movie. So kudos to them for nailing all of that. But I think the one downside of that for us is that while every movie this month has been enjoyable, I think they've all would come in, we would say, bland. Mm-hmm. Not bad, but just, because I think, again, what makes a kid, it's crazy that adults made these movies for kids, because I think they do nail what a kid is going to find entertaining, but like, it just doesn't work on that level as an adult. I still think they're fine, fantastic movies, and Homeward Bound is in that. It is, because it works on that base level, it hits me in that base emotion, and I have that dog that I'm relating to in this level of the movie. All these things affected it. I do love the short runtime because it doesn't make you fucking stick around for some bullshit. It gets in, it gets it out. I appreciate no animals were harmed in the making of this flick and that they went to great pains to tell me how they didn't harm them. Overall, at a 9, Shawnee, I'm going to give it a solid 7.5. Like,
right on.
Yeah, I mean, it is by no means a perfect movie, but this is absolutely a completely inoffensive, perfectly acceptable children's movie. You could watch it anytime with any demographic of person because it has cats and dogs who none of them get killed. There's a slight injury, but it's about persevering through that and teaching a good lesson on top of all of that. Although the maybe best lesson that they teach you in Forest Rescue of all sides is stay fucking put, because the people will come find you most likely at your most recent location, not wherever the fuck you wander off to and get more lost. So,
yeah,
that's that. Yeah. 7.5, man. Fucking it's a fun little flick.
I feel like that's a word that we've used a lot this month is inoffensive.
Yeah.
And which is something you would expect from a kid's movie, right? But it's also, you know, it's nice when you watch a movie and you're like, yeah, it was inoffensive. It was good. it was a little thin plot wise, but it was inoffensive and fun. And yeah, it was there. I'm beyond thrilled this didn't take 2 hours of my day.
Of course.
Like, I watched 20 minutes of it at work.
Suck ass.
Yes.
If this was 2 hours, it'd be a much different rating on this flick.
Oh, my God. An extra 40 minutes on this?
Yeah, man. If it gets in, gets out, gets a goddamn job done, baby. Love it. Thank you, Homeward Bound. The incredible journey.
Talking about not running super long, Kyle, what do you think? Okay, we have a mystery of a budget here, but how much do you think that this grossed?
Homeward Bound probably grossed. Can I ask when it was released?
93.
No, month. Is this a holiday movie?
February.
Is this a summer movie? February?
February 12th. That's a good question.
February is the month they send movies to die at. So I'm going to say surprise hit in February of 1993. $21 million.
Its gross is almost $42 million.
Wow! Good on you, Homeward Bound.
Okay, let me follow up, because I think that was a fantastic question. What do you think it did on its opening weekend?
Okay, opening weekend. This one probably had to have legs. So, yeah, opening weekend, I'd probably say, did it break 4 million?
60,000.
Wow, okay, yeah. There we go. That makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely had a piss poor opening weekend, and definitely had to have had that word of mouth or everybody trying to do shit in the winter.
That's exactly that. That rather further affirms too my original idea that this was a direct to video that got a bump up to a theatrical release, probably to fill some like requirement. They had to release so many movies. And so, like, dude, for real, February is like one of the dump months where they just dump movies that they don't care about because nobody gives a shit in February. And wow. So, yeah, definitely had to have word of mouth. And
as soon as you said this is where it got sent to die and my eyes went to the opening weekend, I knew I had to follow up with that because that was cool. That made me chuckle on the inside. I did reference this earlier. I did put something up on Facebook, and I would like to, if I do put something up on Facebook, at least make sure that I shout it out on the air, not saying one way or another if we are going to be covering it. But I put out Calling All Grinders. You know how much we love theming months, whether it be a genre, an actor, or hell, just a month of movies with a single word animal name. With that being said, is there anything you would love us to focus on for a month? We would love to hear your ideas. To which I wish I was a little bit more clear because it was immediately commented on by Jeff Miner saying a Dean Jonesuary, and you can talk about The Love Bug, Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo, Shaggy D.A., and Beethoven, which I saw Beethoven in theaters as well. Mike Lanham, which you might be surprised to hear, suggested a Fincher February.
Yeah. The poor guy who's pitched Fincher February so much, and we kind of half-assed it 1 year for him, but maybe next year's your year. Mike, maybe next year's your year.
We've done, like, what, one?
We did one Fincher movie, which was, in my opinion, maybe the worst one.
What did we do? Benjamin Button?
Yeah, we did Benjamin Button.
Woof. That movie sucked.
It didn't suck, but like by Fincher standards, it was entertaining. I remember I liked the movie, but
this caused me to adjust it and putting a little asterisk. To be clear, I'm talking about for next month because I'm looking for something for September.
Sure.
And Phil Hawkins suggests Sexual Thriller September.
Oh man, so that'd be like Basic Instinct.
He
Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
He lists Basic Instinct, okay. 9.5 Weeks,
yeah, Sliver, that was one.
Jade, I love Sliver, Jade, and so much more.
Yeah, Hand That Rocks the Cradle, Picket Fences.
Yeah, there's, who knows?
My Girl. I there's some real sexual tense in with Dan Aykroyd. And
did you just say My Girl? Yeah.
I wanted to make a Dan Aykroyd sexual tension joke.
Dude, I was like rubbing my eye and I thought I heard you say My Girl. I'm like, wait, what?
My Girl.
I look forward to seeing more suggestions coming on in. We can have a chat off air where we think we want to go with that. Because we have September and then we have Brookstober and who knows where we go from there. But
yeah, we'll see. I think we'll have something to talk about sometime after next month.
Yeah, you guys have at least from the time of dropping on this to a couple of days after that to, let's say by what, Monday? So that's like 2-3 days to head on over to Facebook, find that post. I have a picture from The Big Lebowski. Look for that one and leave a comment under that if you want to leave more suggestions or ideas. And we'll figure out what we're doing next month.
Yep.
But Kyle, until then, what can the fine folks go do?
They can go eat wet, cold cat food themselves.
Would you rather, Kyle, would you rather, if you were an animal, which would be more fun to you? Being a dog and going up to everybody asking for food, begging, being energetic and lovable, like, I want some food, I want some food, give me some food. Or being on the flip side, would you get more entertainment or more enjoyment out of playing the cat that pretends that she doesn't want any food until somebody gives you the food?
I mean, in every aspect of my life, brother, I'm a low-down, dirty dog.
You're going to have to tell me which one that is, because I feel like the cat's playing a dirty game. Okay.
No, no, no. It's the dog. I'm the dog in general, in literal and metaphorical sense.
That'd be me too. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm hardly ever getting any food, but like, come on.
Dog.
Come on.
Dirty. I barely care about what I fucking eat right now anyways.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sarah's been making a steak and green beans out there, and it just smells so good.
Oh, shit. Go eat that, dog.